This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. An hour ago at a news conference in New York, former Senator George Mitchell described a flourishing drug culture in Major League Baseball from top to bottom. Mitchell's long-awaited report identifies dozens of current and former players, including some of the best-known names in the sport, none bigger than home run king Barry Bonds and seven-time Cy Young Award winner Roger Clemens. And Mitchell admits his list is by no means complete. Blame also lies with management, which Mitchell said was slow to respond and cared more about economics than steroids, and with the players' union, which he said resisted testing and advised its members not to cooperate with this investigation. The report, more than 400 pages in all, includes recommendations as well, an intensive education program, independent testing, and an investigative arm that could consider documentary evidence of drug use as well as tests. Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig, who asked Senator Mitchell to head this investigation almost 2 years ago, will respond a bit later this afternoon. Donald Fehr, the head of the Bay Players Union, follows with a news conference of his own in New York this evening. Later in this program, much of the Midwest is glazed in ice, a sparkling wonderland that's left many without even the promise of power for many days yet. But first, steroids, baseball, and the Mitchell Report. We're going to give you a chance to listen to some excerpts of the news conference, and we'll ask you to join the conversation a bit later. With us now is our friend Alan Schwartz, who covered the news conference for the New York Times. And Alan, nice of you to be with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure calling you from here at the Grand Hyatt in New York.
And what was the biggest surprise, do you think, to come out of the news conference today?
Well, the biggest surprise, before the last 24 hours when everyone started talking about it, was the inclusion of Roger Clemens in the report. And I always thought that talking about what names might be in the report prematurely was a little dangerous because, of course, you didn't know the context that the names would be mentioned. And, the context in which Roger Clemens is mentioned, and not to pick on him, is really quite damning. For instance, later that summer, Clemens asked McNamee to inject him with Winstrol, which Clemens supplied. There are other comments like that. McNamee stated that during this same time period, he also injected Clemens 4 to 6 times with human growth hormone he received from Radomski, McNamee being a former trainer of Clemens, Radomski being the former clubhouse guy for the Mets, who both of whom were the primary witnesses for this investigation. Now, again, not to pick on Clemens, but he is certainly the biggest relatively new name beyond Barry Bonds, beyond Gary Sheffield, beyond Jason Giambi, to which we're accustomed to hearing.
And Miguel Tejada, another former Most Valuable Player Award winner, also named in the investigation, along with dozens of other players, some of whose names, as you suggested, we had heard and some we had not. Let me ask you, though, there was some question about George Mitchell's independence. He is a director of the Boston Red Sox. That's a paid position. He's not part of ownership per se. He didn't take any money from the Red Sox during this investigation. But there were some who thought that he might go softly on his friend, Bud Selig, the baseball commissioner.
Well, he certainly was not soft on Selig. He made it clear that everybody involved, team management, the Players Association, commissioners, he made very clear. He said it, and he hit it hard, commissioners. And, of course, there was only one commissioner during this period. So, you know, he didn't pull any punches with respect to Bud Selig. And with respect to his perceived conflict of interest with respect to the Red Sox, that was actually the last question asked in the press conference by a New York reporter, saying there are a lot of Yankees in here and basically no Red Sox. What gives? And Mitchell said, look, I can't keep you from speculating, but I would simply ask that you judge me on the quality of the work and to remember that I was subject to far worse accusations of a conflict of interest when he went to Ireland because of his own Irish background and tried to broker peace in that area of the world. And he said, you haven't heard any accusations that I did a bad job there, so I would similarly expect that any concerns about my conflict of interest in this case will dissipate over time.
And what did he have to say about the players' union, which did resist testing all this time?
He did not go out of his way to blame the players' union for its resistance to testing as much as some other people have. He was extraordinarily even-handed in his parsing out of what we'd have to call blame. He blamed everybody. And he also implored upon the commissioner to not levy any punishments retroactively to any players named in the report and about whom evidence was given. He said we have to look to the future. It doesn't make a lot of sense because a lot of the players are no longer active. the evidence here is 2 to 9 years old. He said it's important to let go of the past, have a new beginning, and make sure that you handle things better moving forward. So I thought it was extraordinary that he not only did not recommend any sort of punishment, but he beseeched the commissioner, and I'm not exaggerating, to not levy any punishments. Of course, that would you know, invite the response of the Players Association to appeal them, and everyone would spend a lot of money, you know, worrying about it, and he thinks it's best to just let it all go.
Is this going to resolve the questions of the past, the steroid era in baseball?
To be honest with you, Senator Mitchell gave the impression that the steroid era continues, that this is merely a milestone in what will continue to be a game marked by the use of illegal performance-enhancing drugs, specifically human growth hormone, for which there is no urine test, and other substances which players have figured out how to either take and then possibly get rid of them or evade tests. He did not paint a very pretty picture of not only the era which some people think we are exiting, but the era he claims, I believe, that we're still in.
Alan Schwartz, we know you've got to go to work for your newspaper. We appreciate your time today.
My pleasure, Neil. Take care.
Alan Schwartz of the New York Times, just out of the news conference at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in New York City, where former Senator George Mitchell had a lot to say about steroids and baseball. Let's listen to some of it. Senator Mitchell said the players who did use performance-enhancing steroids are at fault and that they put their teammates in a difficult and unfair position.
They violated federal law and baseball policy. And they distorted the fairness of competition by trying to gain an unfair advantage over the majority of players who followed the law and the rules. They, the players who follow the law and the rules, are faced with the painful choice of either being placed at a competitive disadvantage or becoming illegal users themselves. No one should have to make that choice.
And then there was the question of naming names. There was considerable speculation going into this. Who would be named? What would be the process by deciding what would be a fair announcement of someone's affecting someone's career? Senator Mitchell answered this early in the news conference.
There's been a lot of speculation about this report. Much of it is focused on players' names, how many and which ones. After considering that issue very carefully, I concluded that it's appropriate and necessary to include them in this report. Otherwise, I would not have done what I was asked to do, to try to find out what happened and to report what I learned accurately, fairly, and thoroughly.
As had been reported, a great deal of Senator Mitchell's information came from a former bat boy and later clubhouse attendant for the New York Mets named Kurt Radomski.
Through the efforts of the United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of California and federal law enforcement agencies, we obtained the cooperation of former New York Mets clubhouse employee Kurt Radomski. Radomski was interviewed by me and members of my investigative staff 4 times, with federal law enforcement representatives participating in all interviews and his lawyer in 3 of them. Radomski identified a number of current or former major league players to whom he said he illegally sold steroids, human growth hormone, and other substances.
As part of a plea agreement with federal authorities, Radomski agreed to cooperate with the Mitchell investigation. That was the basis on which he provided information. He's scheduled to be sentenced in February. But Senator Mitchell said there were other sources of information.
We also obtained information from sources other than Radomski about players' illegal possession or use of such substances. These included several former major league players and former strength and conditioning coaches, some of whom met with us voluntarily. Others did so at the request of federal law enforcement officials. As a result, we gathered sufficient evidence about their possession or use of performance-enhancing substances to identify in this report dozens of current or former players in Major League Baseball. Each of the players was invited to meet with me so I could provide him with information about the allegations and give him an opportunity to respond. Almost without exception, all current players declined my invitation and refused to meet or to talk with me.
The only current player known to have met with Mitchell is Jason Giambi, now of the New York Yankees, who won an MVP award when he played for the Oakland Athletics. Giambi was almost forced to appear before Senator Mitchell by Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig after Giambi more or less admitted publicly using steroids. Senator Mitchell, as we heard from Alan Schwartz, did not recommend harsh punishments for the players named.
I urge the commissioner to forego imposing discipline on players for past violations of baseball's rules on performance-enhancing substances, including the players named in this report, except in those cases where he determines that the conduct is so serious that discipline is necessary to maintain the integrity of the game. I make this recommendation fully aware that there are valid arguments both for and against it. But I believe that those in favor are compelling.
And Senator Mitchell outlined recommendations for how steroids and other drugs should be handled in the future.
The program should be administered by a truly independent person who holds exclusive authority over its structure and administration. It should be transparent to the public, allowing for periodic audits of its operations and providing regular reports of aggregate data on testing and test results. It should include adequate year-round, unannounced testing and employ best practices as they develop. To ensure that the independent administrator can accomplish these objectives, the program should receive sufficient funding, and it should continue to respect the legitimate privacy and due process rights of the players.
Coming up, we'll get reactions from Bill Littlefield, the host of NPR's Only a Game, and from you as well. 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. You just heard excerpts of former Senator George Mitchell's news conference in New York on the results of his investigation into steroids in Major League Baseball. The players, ownership, the commissioner's office, and the union all came in for their share of blame. The full report is more than 300 pages long, plus appendices. Obviously, we can touch on just a few parts of it today. If you'd like to read more, you can head to npr.org for the complete document. Joining us now is Bill Littlefield, the host of NPR's It's Only a Game. He joins us from the studios of WBUR, our member station in Boston. Bill, nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Neil.
And what do you make of this report? Obviously, just a first glance so far.
Yeah, well, just a first glance is all that's been possible so far. I think it's very interesting that near the end of what you were playing for your listeners just a few minutes ago, Mr. Mitchell made a distinction. He talked about the integrity of the game, and he said that the only players who should be punished are those whose conduct has been so bad that it threatens the integrity of the game. I'd be very interested to know a little more about how he defines that. You either break the law or you don't. And if you break the law, and numbers of players apparently have, the integrity of the game would seem to be very much an issue.
Well, one player in particular, of course, Barry Bonds, faces perjury charges in federal court, and that's another thing entirely.
Well, exactly, and this is perhaps why none of the players named in the report chose to step forward and talk to Mr. Mitchell, because it's one thing to be accused of using steroids or human growth hormone. It's another thing to be facing a federal prosecution for perjury and obstruction of justice. Well, if you keep your mouth shut, maybe you can't perjure yourself.
On the other hand, players will object, those who were named. They got no warning ahead of this. They didn't know Andy Pettitte, for example, of the New York Yankees, just signed a $16 million contract, a one-year contract with the club yesterday. He didn't know that this was coming the next day.
Well, that's right. That's one way to look at it. The other thing is Miguel Tejada just got traded. How do you think his new employer feels about the news that just broke?
Another side to that is, you were offered the opportunity to come in and cooperate with us. You decided not to do that. Therefore, you lose your opportunity to be
exactly
and notified this was, in advance.
Exactly right. And this was not the first opportunity that players had to get involved in responding to this issue, either on a personal basis or on a collective basis.
And we should remind listeners that baseball was dragged into this investigation kicking and screaming. I think that's the less polite way of saying that the commissioner was slow to react.
Yes, I think that's properly characterized. I think the other thing that's kind of ironic, and people haven't really talked about it very much yet, but this past baseball season, the 2007 season, saw record-breaking revenues. Didn't seem to matter to the people who pay baseball's freight that the Bonds thing was an ongoing embarrassment. And even as he broke the record, there was kind of this cloud hovering over him about prosecution down the line. And, of course, speculation well before this report, as the investigation was going on, that numbers of other players would be named. And it didn't seem to bother fans very much. They turned out in record numbers and bought record amounts of jerseys and caps and keychains and all of the other doodads and baubles that baseball markets.
And as for the future, again, another contract signed today. Alex Rodriguez signed a 10-year, $275 million contract with the New York Yankees. So clearly they don't think the economic future of the game is in much jeopardy.
Well, they don't think the economic future of the game is in jeopardy. And obviously, despite the fact that there were the names of lots of current and former Yankees on that list, they don't seem to be too worried about the way they're conducting business either.
Let's get some listeners involved in this conversation. We're talking with Bill Littlefield, the host of It's Only a Game, who's with us from WBUR in Boston. John is on the line. John calling us from Princeton in New Jersey.
Hello.
Hi, or is it Princeton, Wyoming?
No, Princeton, West Virginia.
West Virginia. Yeah. All right, I'll get one of those states, right?
Well, you know, I followed baseball a lot. I saw Mantle play. I'm 57. I saw him play and hit a home run. I actually saw him passed him in a car before he died, a year or two before he died. You know, I've always enjoyed baseball. I played a few sports over the years. I wish I played more. I just consider myself an extremely honest person, and is what I don't get is why does somebody have to cheat to play a game and get paid all that money? I'll play baseball and play my heart out. Give me $25,000 a year, and I won't cheat. You know, see, we're creatures of habit, and you know, it's the big home runs, the exciting plays. We know the Yankees are good. We know they pay a lot of money. We know other teams pay a lot of money and have quality players. But why do you have to cheat? To me, it makes him worthless. He isn't worth 250 cents.
Bill, careful now. Nobody has accused A-Rod of cheating, and he's not on anybody's list, so far as I know.
You're not on the air because everybody's a good player and they're not cheating at the game. You're on the air because some of the players are using drugs, whatever they're called, to enhance their playing of the game. That's cheating.
Okay, thanks very much for the call, John.
That's cheating.
I think you kind of answered, John, I think you kind of answered your own question in the way that you phrased it. Players in baseball and professional athletes and college athletes as well in other sports are always looking for an edge. And in the professional sports, the edge means you keep your job for another year, another 5 years, whatever it might be. It means that you put a heck of a lot more money away. It means, in some cases, guys probably justify this by saying, this is how I'm going to take care of my family. So it's not new for players in baseball or in any other endeavor to look for an edge. And, of course, the technology available to them and the pharmacology available to them just keeps getting better and better. And we see it, of course, in the Olympics as well, in any other elite athletic competition. And it's simply been that way for as long as I think anybody knows.
And there are, in terms of the numbers of people who use it, Senator Mitchell admitted that his numbers, the numbers of names he's got, hardly the full encyclopedia. There have been some players. Remember Ken Caminiti, himself a former most valuable player.
Who said, before his death, acknowledged that he had abused steroids, among other things.
So. And said that he, by his estimation, half of the guys in the sport used it.
Right. Well, I think the important point that Mr. Mitchell made was his sources were limited. He had this former clubhouse guy in New York to talk to and a couple other guys who had been, you know, who were facing federal charges themselves, and so it was to their advantage to be candid with the commission. But he didn't have people in every major league city. He didn't have people who would have been in contact with numbers of players other than the ones in New York, for example, or some of the other places. I mean, more thorough investigation, I would think, would turn up a lot more names.
Let's go now to Dale. Dale's with us from Anchorage in Alaska.
Yeah, your guest implied that because the revenues aren't down, that maybe people don't care about this. And I don't think those two are necessarily connected. I mean, I care very much about the integrity of the game and the players in it. But that doesn't mean I'm going to turn the TV off. I care about baseball more.
Okay, so that's a very much more precise way of saying what I said in a rather clumsy way. So I appreciate your correction. You're right. People don't care about it to the extent that they're going to turn off the TV and stop paying attention to baseball. They care about the game enough so that they're willing to put aside the fact that numbers of guys are using steroids or human growth hormone.
And I don't know what you mean by put aside.
They keep watching even though they know that that's the fact.
Right.
They don't let it deter them from watching the game.
Dale, let me ask you this, though. In 1994, when the season was interrupted, the World Series canceled by a strike, well, people certainly cared about that enough that the next year when baseball resumed, attendance was drastically down. And indeed, a lot of people say the genesis of this, of management at least, willingness to look the other way while the drug problem grew and metastasized, was the fact that they were the long ball, the home run chase between Mark McGwire and Barry Sosa was bringing people back to the ballpark. What's the difference between people caring enough about after the strike not to go and this situation, do you think?
That's a tough one. I don't know what the connection is or if there is a connection, but the strike was, you know, a disagreement between management and players, and it left a bad taste in people's mouths on both sides, you know, from regardless of who was at fault. But
I think maybe one of the major differences, Neil, was that the management labor strife in that particular instance canceled the World Series. And people value the World Series. They value the Super Bowl. They value the NCAA Final Four. I mean, these are big, gigantic party occasions, and people look forward to them, and they matter to them a lot, even if their home team doesn't make it, for example, to the World Series. That baseball, the combination of management and labor, could be so incredibly self-destructive as to actually cause the World Series not to happen was more alarming, I think, to most people and more offensive to them and to their sense of the dramatic, even than the evidence of widespread use of illegal drugs and, you know, steroids, human growth hormone, et cetera.
Dale, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
So long. Let's go now to Brian, and Brian's with us from Lansing in Michigan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I was just wondering about the big picture of everything, starting in the high school sports and the college. Seems to be a lot of use at the lower levels that nobody really pays attention to, or they almost like to sweep it under the rug because it's the risk-reward is so high for kids nowadays that they'll take a little bit of a risk to get the reward. If you have raw talent and you have to make yourself just a pinch better, sometimes it's slipped under the rug for certain reasons that people like to turn a blind eye to.
I think that's something that Senator Mitchell talked about today when he said, yes, it's important that we stop this if we can in Major League Baseball, but the effects of this redound throughout sports, as you're suggesting, down to the college level, the high school level, and indeed below that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a varsity high school coach, and I've noticed there's some kids over the summertime, and I know that other sports have probably enhanced in that too, but they all of a sudden come back, and you're looking at the kid going, wow. And then, you know, if you do a random at those levels, and it's kind of turned a blind eye. I don't want to say it's happened in my area, so to speak, but I can see a lot of other kids in a lot of conferences, leagues, and around in other states, too.
Don't you think that is partly a cultural thing? I mean, we teach real good male athletes very young how important it is for them to be really good male athletes. It's so important that we don't really care too much whether they can read or write. And there'll always be teachers who will push them along because the varsity needs them for the big game.
Right.
We teach kids that very early. And you want to talk about educational programs. I think the educational impetus should not only be, hey, these drugs can be dangerous to you, they can lead to all kinds of terrible side effects, but they should also be that people should be educated to think of themselves as complete people. That is, people with minds, people with imaginations, not just people with 250-pound frames who can run 100 yards faster than anybody else.
Brian, thanks very much for the call. As we mentioned, Senator Mitchell made this point at his news conference. Let's listen to what he had to say about it.
It's important to deal with the players who are illegal users. But it's at least as important, perhaps even more so, to be concerned about the reality that hundreds of thousands of our children are using them. Every American, not just baseball fans, ought to be shocked into action by that disturbing truth.
Senator George Mitchell speaking earlier today about his report on steroids in baseball. Later today, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig and the head of the Players Union, Donald Fehr, will have news conferences of their own. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And still with us, Bill Littlefield, the host of NPR's It's Only a Game. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Dirk. Dirk calling us from San Francisco.
Hi. I guess I only have vague comments to say. Basically, I'm just so disgusted with baseball. And I think this drug scandal is just an indication of how utterly selfish baseball has had a pattern of being for, you know, decades and decades.
Selfish and, in the respect that doing anything to get ahead.
Well, it's basically everything they've done has been entirely in the self-interest of the players and entirely in the self-interest of the owners, and it basically makes anyone who watches baseball into a sucker.
Yeah, I think that's one way of looking at it, although it's interesting that you're calling from San Francisco and saying that because a good number of Giants fans don't regard themselves as suckers, and they regard what Barry Bonds did as quite magnificent, regardless of what may have fueled his achievement.
Well, I can certainly attest to being an exception. I've mm-hmm. completely forsworn the Giants and baseball entirely. And really, I think it's a whole social problem that, somebody commenting on the phenomenon of teenagers using steroids based on the promise of professional athletics. Professional athletics is a decadent indulgence for everyone, I feel like, and when you sponsor professional athletics with your attention, you're fueling a financial incentive for high school kids to take steroids. And
well, that's a connection that that Mr. Mitchell made, as a matter of fact. So you and he are in agreement on that.
Hmm. Thanks for the call, Dirk.
Oh, it was just one more thing. I would like to say Division III college athletics forever.
Thanks very much again. And as we go through this, and again, Bill Littlefield, you've not had the chance to take notes on this report. You just had a chance to listen to the news conference and to get a cursory glimpse at it. But the blame attached to management in baseball, they were slow to react. They valued economics more than drugs. Is that enough, do you think?
Is that an accurate statement, do you mean?
Yeah, or is it damning enough? Does it go far enough, do you think?
Well, no, I don't think it does go far enough. And I think that the one thing that I would agree with in that area from the report is the assessment that Mr. Mitchell made that there is no lack of blame. The players certainly should have been more upfront in cooperating earlier, not only the individual players who did not choose to be candid when they were testifying before a congressional panel, but the players' union in general. The commissioner certainly should have been more proactive long ago, and probably any responsible owner of a team ought to be paying more attention to this as well, just as the NFL owners should be paying more attention to the health of former players and the kind of help that they need. I mean, there ought to be some sense of the welfare of the players counting for something on the part of their employers.
Bill Littlefield, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
Bill Littlefield, the host of It's Only a Game, NPR's broadcast. He joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston.